Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, good morning. This March 29th here, Sunday morning, and where is our podcast from Cerrito House of Worship. And we just want to continue praying that God will do great and mighty things with the body of Christ in the earth today. What we're seeing is something that I've never seen before. I've never seen this kind of a thing. And I believe that God, there's a reason and there's a purpose that these things are happening because of the God we serve. So I'm going to pray and then I'm going to get right into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for all that you are doing, Father. Father, we are thankful, Father. We thank you and we praise you, Father God, that we are in your kingdom, that you have chosen. You've chosen us to be in this kingdom that you have placed on the earth. And Father, we ask you, Father, this morning that you would, Father, not only speak to the hearts of those that hear this message, Father God, that know you, but also, Father, those that don't know you. Let this message be a message of comfort and of pulling towards you, Father. Allow folks to hear this with an open heart. Father, in Jesus' name I pray this morning. Thank you for it once again. Amen. Praise God. I want to turn to Genesis chapter 3. The title of the sermon today is When God Calls for Your Attention. Has God ever called for your attention? When God calls for your attention. Exodus chapter 3. Did I say Genesis? Exodus chapter 3, starting at verse 1, says, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock into the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of a fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush is not burnt. And I love this part. It says, For the Lord, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of Abraham your father, and the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look on God. And here God has shown himself to Moses as Moses was feeding his father-in-law's sheep. And God got Moses' attention by a burning bush, by a bush. But what I love about this is when God saw that Moses turned aside to go see, that God said, began to speak to him. And I believe that God is what God is trying to do with us today. The body of Christ is asking us to turn aside to see, to hear what he's saying. I believe that God is using the coronavirus to strengthen the body of Christ. Even though some folks don't get it, they don't understand it, God is strengthening the body of Christ today. Hallelujah. I'm going to take you to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'm sorry, we'll start it. Chapter 4. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 38. The Word of God says this, And he rose up out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. He's talking about Jesus. And he says, And with Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Amen. Jesus rebuked that fever and it left her, and immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place, and the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. So verse 1 in chapter 5, it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. This is a key scripture. The people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. They pressed upon him. They were pushing him, say, we want to hear God's word. We want to hear God's word. And they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. So was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with him, with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Verse 11 says, And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all. What does that mean? They forsook all and followed him. Amen. Praise God. I love these two stories. I love where God gets Moses' attention. And I believe that Peter, his mom was healed by Jesus the night before. And as they had gone out and were fishing all night and were back on the shore, the people were pressing Jesus to speak to them. And Jesus asked Peter to hey, let's get out on your boat away from the shore a bit so that I can speak to these folks. It's a natural acoustic kind of setting for the ocean and where Jesus was at. And so they pushed out in there. And Jesus began to speak to the people. And when he was done, he went after Peter's attention. When God calls for your attention, he went after Peter's attention by telling him, Peter, let's go out a bit ways and then throw over your net. And Peter told him, no. He goes, man, we fished all night, Lord. Master, we fished all night and we didn't catch anything. Nevertheless, at your word, Jesus, I will do that. So he did that, and you know the story said that a great multitude of fishes were brought in. Jesus had Peter's attention now. Not so much. I mean, he might have had his attention when he healed his mom and she got up and ministered. But now, all of a sudden, Peter sees something different with Jesus. He says, man, this man is different. This is the Son of God. This is the prophet. So the Bible says that when they brought in all the fish, that they forsook everything, left it all, and followed Jesus. Praise God. Do you remember when Jesus got your attention? Jesus, the Lord is always trying to get our attention. He's always trying to allow us to see him. But I remember when he got my attention, I was with a friend at work, and my friend, his name was Lee Sines. He'd been talking to me about Jesus, and he asked me to come to a service. And it was 1978, and I had an eyeball injury. I had gotten a piece of steel into my eye from a ball mill, and while we were repairing the ball mill. And so it was a fresh injury. And Lee had told me, he says, "Man, come on, man. Come to church tonight. Come with me. And we'll see what God will do for you." And like I say, he had been talking to me. So we went in. We went to this church meeting. And I asked Rosie to go with me if she wanted to go. She goes, "Okay." So when we pulled up to the church, it was in a tent. And Rosie right away immediately said, "Oh, no, oh, no." I said, "What's wrong, honey?" She goes, my dad told me never to come into these tents. They were crazy." And I go, "Oh, we can't leave now. Let's just get through this." And she goes, "Okay, but you better not leave me." So I said, "All right, let's go in." So we went in with Lee and his wife. And while we were sitting there, the evangelist came out and he said, "I feel the Lord wants to do something different today." He says, let me call anybody that needs healing, come up to the front. And so, or anything that you want God to do for you, come on up to the front. So we went up. I mean, I'm sitting there and Lee's telling me, he says, "Henry, God, let's go up there. God will heal your eye." And I go, "I don't know, man." He says, "Come on." And I didn't know the Lord. I absolutely didn't know him. And he said, "Come on, Henry, just come with me. I'll go with you." And I said, "Oh, okay." So I get up and I go with him. We're standing up there and we're kind of talking. The evangelist is there's a line of people on the front of this thing and they're moving from the right to the left. And my friend and I are talking. And next thing I know, I feel a tug on my pants. And I turn and I look and it's Rosie. She's standing next to me. And she says, "I told you not to leave me." And I said, "Man, I'm sorry. I forgot." And so right then the evangelist steps in front of her and he looks at her and he tells her, "What are you doing? I mean, what would you like for me to pray for you?" And she turns and looks at him and then he steps back and he says, "You're afraid of what your dad's going to say." And my wife immediately started crying and the evangelist put his hand up, and I've never seen this before. But when he put his hand up, he never even touched her. She fell over and now all of a sudden got my attention. My attention now is, what in the world is this? And then he steps in front of me and he's looking at me and I'm looking at my wife. I look back at my wife and I look at him and he goes, "What can I do for you?" And I took my glasses off because of my eye. And what came out of my mouth was not what I went up for, but what came out of my mouth, I said to him, "If God's real, I want to know it." And he smiled at me, took my glasses out of my hands and stuck them in my pocket. And I remember seeing his hand go up, and the next thing I know, I felt like I was floating. Floating. It was a beautiful feeling, beautiful sensation. I go, "What?" And I didn't hear any voice, didn't see anything. All I know was I was floating. And next thing I know, I can hear somebody talking. And while they were talking, I opened my eyes and I looked. And I was laying flat on my back. And I got mad. I was angry because I didn't want to be a point of conversation. And so when I sat up, the evangelist came over to me and he looked at me and he said, he goes, "Oh, you're back." And I didn't say anything to him. I think I gave him a dirty look. And I went all the way back, sat back down with my wife and Lee and his family. And Rosie was still crying. And I looked at Lee and Lee told me, he says, "Bro, you've been there for 20 minutes. You laid there for 20 minutes. And it seemed like an instant. It just seemed like a few seconds to me. God had my attention. I didn't know the Lord. I hadn't given my heart to him, but I know he had my attention. He was getting my attention. A few days later, my friend asked me, "Hey, you want to come to church again?" And I really didn't want to go. Kind of scared me. And I said, "You know what? I'll tell you what. I'll let you know. Let me ask Rosie and we'll see." And when I went home and I asked Rosie, "Hey, Rosie, Leah's asked us to go to church again." And it surprised me because my wife said, "Yeah, let's go." She was excited about going, a lot more excited than I was. I said, "Well, okay." So I called Lee, and to this time it wasn't in the tent. They had moved into a church for veterans, right in front of the Veterans Hospital in Tucson. And when they We were sitting about, there was a long shotgun style church. We were sitting about on the left-hand side as you walk in, and there was pews, and we were about halfway down, and my wife and I, we were all sitting about halfway in the middle, and the same evangelist was preaching. And he began his sermon, and he's preaching along, and I'm hearing, not really paying attention, because I was just thinking about what happened to me before. And then right in the middle of his sermon, he kind of stops, and he points in the general area where we're at, and he says, "Stand up and come here." And people were looking around, and I didn't look around. It was very strange to me. I stood right up. Immediately, I didn't question who's he talking to. I just stood up and I walked over. I scooted myself, excuse me, out, got into the aisle that's on the far left hand side against the wall, and I started walking towards the front of the church. And when I got about three or four pews away from the evangelist, he was standing at the end of that aisle. He just raised his hand, he smiled at me, he raised his hand, and I went down again, right in the middle, and I don't know how long I laid there. I laid there for a while, but when I opened my eyes, there was a guy sitting at the pew at the end of the pew, and he's looking at me. He says, "Oh, you're awake." And I once again, God had my attention. It wasn't until my birthday later that year that I had went out and got drunk. And I had been promising my wife that I was going to quit drinking. And went to work half drunk. And my boss wouldn't let me go to work. He said, "No, you're not working. You're going to go find a place to hide. And I'll see you at lunchtime. We'll see if we're going to put you to work." And so I went up in the mill. I knew where to hide. I went in the electrical vault. And while I was in the electrical vault, a man there named Pastor David Stoll stopped in there. He was the electrician of that vault. He was assigned to the vault, and he asked me, "Do you want something de-energized?" And I said, "No, I'm in here just trying to cool off." It was August. It was hot, but it was in the morning. And I said, just trying to cool off. I knew that he was some kind of a holy man. He was a preacher. And just didn't know hardly anything about him, but I knew that when we used to go in there to cool off, a lot of our crew would go in there, and he would go in and he'd start talking about Jesus. Before you know it, everybody was moving, getting out, leaving the vault. So as he turned to walk away, I asked him, I said, "Are you a preacher?" And he turned back around and looked at me and says, "Do you know Jesus?" And I said, "Hey, I'm a Catholic." "You a preacher?" And he said, "Well, I didn't ask you if you're a Catholic. I didn't ask you. I asked you if you knew Jesus." And I looked at him. I said, "You can know him?" He goes, "Yes, you can." And I'm thinking about all these things. And when I was getting knocked down by something, didn't know what that was. And I said, "You can know him?" He says, "Yes, you can." He goes, "Come on down." We went a couple of levels down in that vault, and in over a garbage can, he opened his Bible and he read some scriptures to me. And then he said, "Do you want to say the sinner's prayer?" And I said, "Yeah, I do." And I said the sinner's prayer. And when I said that prayer, I immediately felt like I was going to burst out crying. That was my immediate feeling. Something happened within me. And so I told him, "Hey, I got to go, man." He goes, "Well, let me show you some more scriptures." I told him, "Look, I'm glad I didn't cuss at him. I said, look, I got to go. I've got to go," because I knew that I was going to burst out crying. As I went up the stairs, I started weeping, went out into the driveway of the mill, and it was a long driveway, about 300 yards long, 300 feet long. I'm not sure. Anyway, went in that driveway, and as I was walking, I began to say something that I don't even know where I heard it from, but I said, "King of kings and the Lord of lords, King of kings and the Lord of lords." And when I said that, I felt this like a warmth coming over me, like a warm blanket, if you will, or honey flowing over me or whatever. But all I know, I was amazed at it. So I said it again, and it happened again. I said it again, and it happened again, and I said it again. So God had gotten my attention, but now I had gotten saved. And God is trying to find us Because the Bible says we are all like sheep, we are lost. And he's finding us and bringing us in to the kingdom of God. One of the things about Jesus is he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is, do you know who Jesus is? He is the Son of God. I got to know Jesus that morning. And ever since then, it has been a different world for me. I could not wait to get home to tell my wife that I had given my heart to Jesus, that I had done something, that I was now no longer an alcoholic. I just could not wait to tell her that. Somehow I knew that. And when I got home, my wife, like I said, had gotten drunk the night before, and my mom had told me that I was going to, that she had told my wife to divorce me because no woman needed to be that way. Thanks a lot, Mom. But as I walked in the house, I told my wife, I quit drinking. And she told me, shut up. And I said, oh yeah, that's right. My wife is mad at me. Well, a few weeks later, she looked at me. She said, there's something very different about you. I had cleaned out my refrigerator. I had a full bar at that house. I mean, I was the guy that wanted to impress people with my drinks. I wanted to make them cocktails, and I was that person. That's the person I was. But I had taken all that alcohol that was in the house. I took it out to a barrel that was behind my house, and I broke every bottle. I took all my record albums and took them out there, and I broke all of them, all of some of the stuff that might have been not bad. But I was like the apostles when they forsook all and followed Jesus. And I was on this track to follow Jesus. And I just happened to be talking to Pastor David again, and he was telling me that he was having Bible studies here in Green Valley. I was invited to come, but he had told me, he said, find a church, find a place to go. And I said, well, I want to go where you're going because you helped me. And I just kind of felt a connection with this brother. And for the after that, I ended up being in his church, being a youth pastor with his church for 15 years. And God has continually blessed me and my family. He's continually watched over us and taken care of us. And I thank God for that, because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is Lord of all. Have you made the decision? That's my question. Have you made the decision to forsake all and follow him wholly and with your whole heart? But Jesus, I found out by reading the scriptures that Jesus is the truth. John chapter 17:17, Jesus was praying to his Father before he went to the cross. And then the Word of God says this, that Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, talking to his Father. And then he said, thy word is truth. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says this. He says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But you see that Jesus is the truth. He is the truth. The Word of God says this, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 16 says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus. He is the Word. He is the Word of God, man. So, and it's crazy. So when those people had pressed Jesus to hear the Word of God, they were looking at the Word of God. Isn't that a crazy thought? They were looking at the Word of God. They were pressing him to hear the Word. Are we still pressing God to hear his word? Or are we satisfied with just what he's given to us just up to this point? Can I just say this? I have found that the scriptures are there is no depth. There is no, it's like a bottomless it's a bottomless bowl of French fries. You're never gonna get to the bottom, because there's so much in the Word of God that God has placed there. He knows all that He's placed in you, and He also knows all that He's placed in the Word. And there is no way that I can have enough of the Word of God. There's no way. Ephesians 6:10 says this. We talk about this, what's going on in the world today. Ephesians 6:10 through 18 says this. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of them, in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching thereunto. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Spirit. I like to just make sure that verse is laid on there, because I've seen a lot of places, a lot of churches, where they will read the armor of God and they will leave that last verse we read out, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all preservation. It is important that we pray in the Spirit. But I want to take you to verse 14 that says this: stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Having your loins girt about with truth. Jesus is a strengthener to the body of Christ. If Jesus dwells in you, He is strengthening you by His word. It is His word. It is who He is. You can't separate Him from His word. So if He's dwelling in you, He is strengthening you. Even in times like you're seeing today, no matter what comes against you, He is the strength of who you are. That's who He is. You have died, and He is now indwelling you to live His life. The Word of God in Galatians says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's Christ dwelling in you. He is the strengthener of who you are. I want to take you to Jeremiah chapter 13. I want you to look at this. Because Jesus, when it says to gird yourself with the girdle of truth, it's talking about putting on Christ. Watch what Jeremiah says. Jeremiah 13, verse 1 says, the Lord said unto me, go and get thee a linen girdle. Put it on thy loins, and put it not in water. So I got a girdle according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came unto me a second time, saying, take the girdle that thou hast got, which is upon thy loins, and arise, go to Euphrates, hide it there in a hole of the rock. So I went, and I hid it by Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And it came to pass after many days that the Lord said to me, arise, go to Euphrates, take the girdle from there, which I commanded thee to hide there. And I went to Euphrates and digged and took the girdle from the place where I had hid it. And behold, the girdle was marred, and it was profitable for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord, after this manner I will mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem, this evil people which refuse to hear my words. I want you to hear what he's saying, because it's so important that the body of Christ hears God's words. Here's what God is saying about himself to you. Can I just say this? In time like today, God is trying to get our attention to focus on the kingdom of God, to focus on heaven. Heaven is asking for our attention today. And he says this, "This evil people which refuse to hear my word, which walk in the imagination of their heart and walk after other gods to serve them, to worship them, shall even be as this girdle," which is, the Bible says, good for nothing. "For as the girdle cleaves to the loins of man," this is our Father's words. He says, "As the girdle cleaves to the loins of man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me a people, and for a name, and for a praise, and for a glory, but they would not hear." Here God is making a very vivid example of a girdle that the Word of God tells us in Ephesians to put on, the gird ourselves with this girdle of truth, which is Christ. And he says, "I have caused this, I have made this girdle to cleave to the," or to stick to the children of Israel, "that they might be a glory," that they might be for a name and for a praise. And you know what they've done? They have not listened. Can I say that the Word of God is good for you unless you listen? You got to be listening and you got to believe what it's saying. Oh, that we would believe God. We put on the TV and watch every day. I'm surprised at how many people will tell me exactly what's going on with the coronavirus, but they will not tell me what's going on with what's going on in heaven. Why is that? Because we're not focusing on heaven. God, the heavens are calling for attention, and are we giving it attention? I'm surprised. God is saying, "I have caused my truth to cleave to you, but you're allowing it to be dissolved by the things around you so that it can be good for nothing." It will be good for nothing. If you won't believe what God is saying, His truths are not going to profit you. They just won't. I would say it's time that we begin to focus on heaven. Talking to Pastor John, and I was talking to my daughter, and they're telling me how this time has become a wonderful time, actually, because it gives you a chance to go after God. My daughter was saying, "I don't have to get up and worry about going to work and everything, because I can't. They won't let me. So I'm spending time in the Word of God, and I can spend as much time in prayer as my kids will let me." Isn't it something? Could it be that God is using this to strengthen the body of Christ so that the body of Christ would hear what He's saying? I believe that the heavens are calling for the attention, that God is calling for the attention, that Jesus is calling for the attention, that the Holy Spirit is calling for the attention of His people. We will listen to everyone else. We will hear, and you know, I understand that there are people listening to me, but I am trying, my desire is that you would go to the Father and you would listen for yourself on your own at this time, because the heavens, God is calling for your attention. It's not a time to be hearing what every prophet in the land is saying. It is time for the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, to speak to you one-on-one, independently dependent on God, one-on-one into your heart. That's what times like these are about. Job chapter 3, verse 26 says this. I'm going to start with this. I'm going to back up. But it says, "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." I'll read that again. It says, "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." Job is probably the oldest book in the Bible. They're not sure of who the author is. Some think it's Moses, other folks, they just don't know. But he's saying here, "I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." What I'm thinking is, my thoughts is that Job did not have the luxury of the Word of God. Job did not have something that he could actually look at that would strengthen him. So he was going through a horrible time. And here's where he says, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. He could not find a place of rest. See, God has provided for his people a place of rest. A rest for his people. And it's funny, God has been calling us to rest. God has been calling us into the closet. God has been calling us into his presence for us to be hearing him. And what's funny, now that spiritual rest has even kind of shown up in our land it's in the natural now. We're resting. Folks are saying, "Man, I haven't slept past 8 o'clock for years, and now I'm sleeping past 8 o'clock because of this thing going on." God is providing a rest for us to get into his rest. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I want you to look at verse 25 in Job. It says this. The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. This is a statement that Job makes, and I really sense that in this statement here, he's really... Because the Bible says that Job would sacrifice every day for his children because he said, perhaps they've done something that has offended God. And this scripture here, I believe, kind of reveals the heart of Job. He says, the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. See, there was a focus in Job's life that God was after. I believe that God was after removing this from God's life, from Job's life. I believe that this thing that he greatly feared and the thing that he was afraid of, see, Job was a man of fear and he was a man of faith. But his fear was overwhelming him in his circumstance. And a lot of times we go through those things where our fear will try to overwhelm the faith that we have. But the fact of the matter is, God says to stand true. My words are true. They will show that God is real. He is true to his word. He will not back away. He is not a liar. He cannot lie. He will never lie. So you stand true. And believe him for those things. Believe him for the things that he has for you. James chapter 4 verse 8. When things are coming against you, the best thing for you to do is this. Draw near unto God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Isn't it funny that James would say these words? And I believe James is talking to Christians. He says, hey, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. As a pastor, I've talked to a lot of folks, and a lot of folks don't really believe that God will speak to them. They just don't have that. They don't have that connection with God where God is speaking to them. And it's funny that, it's not funny, but it's something that's on my heart that people would know that God is as true to his word as anything you can see in front of you that you can say, well, that's a chair or that's a car or that's a building. He is as true to his word, and you can stand on it even though it's not visible. Hallelujah. And he says to draw near unto him, and he'll draw near to you. And the cleansing happens when he's near to you, and he purifies your heart when he's near to you. And he removes that question that would cause you to be double-minded in these things. He's after your heart. Heaven is trying to get your attention. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32 says this. And such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries? He's talking about the end times where there is the Antichrist is in the world. But the Word of God makes this statement here. This is a statement I want you to hear. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and shall do exploits. As a pastor, I believe that today is the day that God is calling on His children to do exploits, to spend time with Him, to find out what He has for them, and then to move into it. I had a brother the other day ask me, he says, can we start a Bible study can we start doing a Bible study? And I'm all for it, as long as God has spoken these things to him. And another person was telling me that they were planning to the job is might be closing down on them here, and they were asking, well, should we go? What do you think? I mean, what will you pray with us? I said, yeah, we'll pray with you, but the fact of the matter is God will tell you. He really will say to you what he wants you to do. So wait on him. Allow him to give you those answers, because now is the time. God is calling for your attention. He's asking you to focus on him. He's asking you to lay those things down. So we have where the apostles said, you know what, we're going to lay this down. We're going to, we're going to quit being fishermen, and we're going to wholly follow Jesus. And he's asking us, are you willing to lay some things down and wholly follow me, wholly come after me? Psalm 119. Verse 109. I didn't give you that, did I? I feel the Lord. I wrote it down, but Psalm 119, 109, the Word of God says, my soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. If I can tell you anything, if I know anything as a pastor, I cannot change anybody's mind. I cannot change your heart. I cannot do that. That's not my area of work. That is the area of work of the Holy Spirit. But I can change the way that I walk. I can change the things that I do, because when I go after God's word and I see his word and I see the truth that's in his word, I can do that in my own life, but I can't do that in anybody else's life, because this is a one-on-one relationship with God. You might believe that you're getting better and you're going to be able to fix yourself, but you really can't. It's a one-on-one relationship with God that will help you to overcome these things, that will guide you into the things that God has for you. So your soul really is in your hand. It depends on what you are doing, the choices you're making, where you're going. It depends on you to hear and to respond, and no one else. You can't use a spouse, or you can't use a good friend as an excuse why you won't change when you hear a message like this, because God is asking you to change. He's asking you to focus on him. For those that are in the church, I want to pray a brief prayer. I'm going to say, seek him and him alone. No substitutes. Don't allow any substitutes. Seek him and him alone. He will speak to you through his word. His word Seek him. So I'm going to pray for you, church. And ask God to open these things to you as you set things aside and follow him, as you make a decision to walk wholly after him. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the strengthening that's happening even right now, the shaking that's happening right now in the body of Christ. Father, I thank you that you are strengthening each and every one of us, Father, that we might be partakers together of the glory of God. Thank you, Father, that your work is an incredible work in the earth today. So, Lord, as they seek your face, Father, visit them with dreams, visit them with visions, visit them with clarity in the Word of God. Visit them, Father. I thank you for them, Father. And I praise you for, Lord. Touch your people. For those of you that don't know the Lord, that have never asked him into your heart, the heavens are calling for your attention. I do not do altar calls unless the Lord speaks to me to do an altar call in the house, because I believe the Word of God does the work. So today, as you've heard this message, I pray that the clarity of what I've said in saying, that the Holy Spirit would take that and make it very clear to you that you cannot live any longer in sin. That Jesus has come to die for your sins and to remove them from you. It's your choice. So I'm going to pray this prayer with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus came and he died for my sins. He was buried, and on the third day you resurrected him to justify me. He paid for my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. I ask you to come in, make me whole, make me new. Help me to find you in everything that I look at in the Word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you said that prayer this morning, know that Jesus has come and he has saved you and washed your sins away, and you are now a new creature in Christ. That's the end of it. That's our sermon for today. It will be going out later on this week. But I just want to encourage you. The things that are going around you are temporary. The things that are happening that you're seeing are temporary. The kingdom of God is eternal. So focus on his kingdom and his word, and you watch what God does in these days ahead. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You could connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.